Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Heart Center, where expert cardiologists, cardiac surgeons, nurses, and support staff have built a nationally recognized program focused on prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation. For a virtual tour of the Heart Center, go to www.umm.edu/heart. Before we jump into our program, let me read you what just came off the AP Newswire. A brief story by Devlin Barrett about the Fort Hood shooting. They say the suspect is an Army major, at least one of them. A law enforcement official says a shooting suspect at Fort Hood has been identified as Army Major Malik Nadal Hassan. The official said Hassan, believed to be in his late 30s, was killed after opening fire at the base. The official spoke on condition of anonymity because he was not authorized to discuss the case publicly. The official says investigators are trying to determine if Hassan was his birth name or if he changed his name and converted to the Islamic faith at some point in his life. I hope all this is not true, and I hope that our condolences and feelings go out to all the families of the soldiers who have been shot, killed, or wounded in that. And, of course, we'll be looking at that, letting you know breaking news. And there'll be a lot of wounds to heal across many lines, it looks like. So we'll be covering that on this show and elsewhere as well. Now I'll turn to the heart of our program, and we'll keep you updated, as I said, as the news comes in. We'll let you know the latest news of what's going on in Fort Hood, because all of you are anxious to know about that while you're listening to this. We're joined this hour by David Miller, who is co-founder and chief visionary officer of the Urban Leadership Institute and co-author of the book Raising Him Alone. Matthew Stevens is founder of Empower Today's Youth and the other co-author of Raising Him Alone. Lamar Darnell Shields is president and co-founder of the Urban Leadership Institute. A couple of weeks ago, we had a program about a film on the black family, and some amazing statistics, scary statistics came out of that. A great deal of hope came out of that discussion in the movie. A huge amount of hope about what can happen in the future and how to rebuild family. But also the numbers were just overwhelming. And we're talking with three men today who work hard to bring black men back to their families and also to help heal these families. And they join us today. But I think right now we only have one with us. The others will show soon, I hope. Matthew Stevens, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be with you guys tonight.
The number here is 410-319-8888. Rachel's here at steinershow@gmail.com. Or you can log on to Facebook, where we started a conversation there, and join that conversation there. And we'll read those comments on the air, and I'll take a look at them in just a few minutes. And I know the focus of your book is Raising Him Alone. And just before we get into that, issues I wanted to raise when David and others get here. Talk a bit about what the goal was in raising this, in writing this book.
Well, David and I both have been working with young men for the last 20 years in different areas. David, as you know, is in the Baltimore, Maryland area with the Urban Leadership Institute, and I am in the Newark, New Jersey area. I'll talk about the work that I do briefly that kind of highlights why we wrote the book, and David will talk about the work that he's done that led him to do it. In New Jersey, we partner with Rutgers University each year to host a conference for employment for young men in high school to expose them to jobs and careers early to kind of work on breaking down the large unemployment rate found in the black male population. What we found in the last 5 years is that out of 1,000 young men that come to our conference each year, approximately only 25 of those 1,000 young men graduate from college in a 5 to 6 year period. The vast number of the young men drop out of high school, or those who do go to college don't end up graduating from college. And so David and I have been putting together programs and activities and training staff, working directly with young men in our mentor programs. But we found that all of those efforts were falling short if we did not do something specifically focused on helping to address some of the concerns that the mothers were reporting. In New Jersey, as well as Maryland and most major cities, between 70 and 80% of the young men growing up in households headed by single mothers.
What was that percentage again?
I'm sorry?
What did you say the percentage was again?
Between 70 and 80% of the young men in major cities. That would be NORG. In any major city in this country, those are the statistics that we're seeing. We recognize that the mothers of these boys are dealing with some tremendous challenges. So we wanted to develop a campaign that focused on helping them. And so we wrote the book, Raising Him Alone, as a book filled with strategies on things women can do to raise boys to be men. Subsequently, to writing the book, we wrote a grant to the Open Society. The Open Society is run by George Soros. He's one of the
Open Society Institute, right?
Yes, the Open Society Institute.
Right.
And they have a campaign that they're running called the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. So we approached the director of that campaign and said, hey, we think that all of the work that is being done with the mentor programs, with the college programs, with prison reentry programs, all of those programs are fantastic and they all are needed. But we think what's missing is something that's comprehensive in helping the mothers to gain access to resources to address some of the problems that they're dealing with. So we were granted a grant to start a campaign, an information and advocacy campaign in the cities of Newark and Baltimore for the year 2009-2010. And the book was one of the things that we used as far as advocacy was concerned.
410-319-8888 number here as we kind of look at the world of what the people who are trying to reclaim and rebuild black families and put people back and bring our make our communities whole again. One of the things that really struck me, and I will raise this again when David gets in the studio and we get Lamar on the phone, is that there was a statistic in the movie we talked about last week that was really blew me away. That in 1962, 81% of children grew up, and black children grew up in families with a mother and father in the home. But in 2009, that was almost reversed. I think the statistic was like 80% of African-American children have no connection with their father. That's mind-blowing.
And it's scary. It's a scary statistic, and it's playing itself out in some horrible manners. We start to see in the book, we give a number of statistics that look at how children end up with when they grow up without a father's influence, and you know the numbers from the likelihood of them going to jail, the likelihood of them committing crimes, the likelihood of them dropping out, the likelihood of them needing mental health assistance. All of those numbers are double, triple, quadrupled when we start to look at the absence of the father. And so what we wanted to be able to do in this campaign, in the Raising Him Alone campaign, is recognize that unfortunately there is not going to be a horde of black men who are going to run back to their families right away. So we wanted to make sure that we dealt with the situation as it is right now, and provide resources for mothers so that they could help their sons to grow up. Things that we're finding is that the mothers just don't know what to do in certain circumstances. And so we've been reaching out to other scholars, other practitioners, to help us in addressing a variety of issues that they deal with on a day-to-day basis.
410-319-8888 is the number here to join in on this conversation. And let's we have Lamar Shields in there. Lamar, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good. We're starting the conversation with Matthew Stevens. Glad you could join us here.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Lamar.
And let me go to the phones and And I guess some people who've been calling in here at 410-319-8888. Lester Spencer on the air.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, Lester, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. It seems like I just talked to you yesterday, didn't I?
You did, I think, yes.
Real quick, it's important to make a couple of clarifications, right? So the first thing is that it's not that necessarily that 80% of black men are out of touch with their kids. It's 80% who are fathers. It's 80% of black men who are fathers are not in the home at this moment. There's a different thing. That's a different thing.
Okay.
Secondly, it's important that we understand that these numbers are literally exploding within the white community as well. I believe the number stands as a nation that 50% of kids born now are born to single mothers without a male in the home, right? So what you have is a scenario where the black where blacks act as like the miner and the canary. I mean, the canary in the mine, right? The final thing, given that, is that what we have to do, and the person and the guest may hit the nail on the head. What we have to do first and foremost is take care of mothers instead of coming up with this perfect idea of a family that doesn't exist. Is take care of mothers first and foremost and give them the resources they need to take care of their kids, as opposed to, and I'm not saying the guests are doing this, as opposed to taking a cultural route and saying that there's something wrong with black people culturally,
right?
And we need to hook black men and black women up more, because that's not happening and that doesn't work.
That Lester, I think that's a very powerful point you just made. Lamar, you want to pick up, and Matthew, pick up on that point?
Well, I just want to say, I mean, you're going to hear some background. You're going to hear some stuff in the background, Mark, because I'm actually doing the work that we're talking about right now. I'm at Johns Hopkins. David and I started a school called the Paul Robeson Academy, and I'm
yes.
currently here on the campus with about 10 boys who don't have connections to their dads. Every Thursday, the boys are being tutored from 5 to 7, and we're actually here. I mean, we know that there's...
Then, Lamar, then you're forgiven for not being in the studio.
Yeah. So I'm on the grind.
Right,
you know,
that's right,
a lot
right,
of us
right.
A lot of us are quoting stats and all that. I'm actually here mm-hmm. Without my family, but with these boys. I mean, there are tons of research that states, you know, we know that when a boy or a girl has two parents in the household, academically, they do much better. When a boy has a mother and father in the household, socially, they do much better. The incarceration rate goes down. I think what we got to look at, I just read in the Baltimore Child magazine last week, Mark, that this is taking a toll on the country. They said for this fatherlessness situation, it cost the country $98 billion almost. 98. And I looked at it and it made sense. Well, when you looked at the incarceration rate, when you look at remedial education, when you look at all those other things, then it hits everybody. But when you talk about education is such a political conversation, because everyone doesn't have children. They're not concerned about educating our children. So when you look at what's going on with dads not being in a household, raising him alone is a great campaign, because my thing is, my goal is to get fathers back in. But as David and Matt talks about, if the daddy is not there, we have to empower the woman, because the majority of these boys are being raised by women. The majority of these boys see women all day in the classroom. When they get suspended, you know, at grandmama's house, it's time for men to step up to the plate to take on their responsibilities. It sounds easy, but the reality is it's not going to happen like Matt said in droves of numbers, because these men are so battered and bruised by what other men have done to them that they, first of all, I don't even want them around our boys, because they're going to make the situation more toxic. So Raising Him Alone is a great campaign to encourage mothers. What we're doing, Mark, you know, with the Men to Boys film, you know, talking about what's happening with men and having boys talk about what's happening to them when fathers aren't around, we need to wrap our arms around everybody that has a campaign that's attempting to get the families back together, because it's taking a toll on people financially as well as socially and mentally.
I want to get some of the people on the air here who are trying to call in at 410-319-8888. Is Matthew still with us? We're trying to call him back, get a better line. 410-319-8888. Gregory, you're on the air. Hi, Gregory, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment I think the main problem is we have a lot of our mothers, single mothers, that, you know, and they express a lot of interest into being independent moms and independent home parents. And I just want to express to these mothers and to everyone that it's very important to employ a male figure in the home to rear these children and to teach them the differences between the love you receive from a mother and the respect that you receive from the rearing of a father. Because me, myself, I was brought up at home with a father and a mother, and it's very important that we have the employment of these figures at home to teach the kids, you know, because it's very significant to the future, you know, to the social, from a social perspective, and, you know, also to a moral perspective.
Well, but it sounds like, well, Marla, maybe let you pick up since our other guests aren't here. To respond to what Gregory was saying.
Well, you know, it's interesting. He said get the love from the mother and respect from the father, but where is the love from the father? You know, I love to see men embracing their sons, hugging them, kissing them, doing those affectionate things. You know, it's interesting that he didn't say love from the father, because we have to get that same type of love from the dad. You know, a father's love is unbelievable. I mean, you know, to us, you know, as I say all the time, you know, Jay-Z talked about it in the Rolling Stone magazine. He said when his father left his mother when he was 8 years old, it was like Superman had left the building. Because Mark, to us, our fathers are our superheroes. Mark and I, we live in the neighborhood. We're growing up. I'll say to you, Mark, my father could beat your father. You say, no, Lamar, my father can beat your father. We don't hear that anymore. We say now, Mark, where's your father? And you'd be like, when we see him, he may be with my father because neither one of them are actually around.
Mm-hmm.
So the language has to actually change. Mothers are doing doing the best that they can. But, you know, we also got to talk about the mothers who Mark becomes, who creates a wall for the father who wants to be involved. Mark, I'm talking about the mother that says, you know, when are you bringing my son home? What time are you bringing my son back to the house after you go? Because now you're playing games. And what that does, Mark, it takes away the power from the father. So I know now I no longer have any power because the mom has stolen that away from me. Also, Mark, some other stats. Men are paying child support. See, we got to stop playing the games as well. We say paying child support. That's incorrect. Men are paying child support at a high rate. They won't tell us that. Men are being connected to their sons, but they won't tell us that. It's easy to talk about the negative of what's actually not happening instead of talking about the positive.
Well, I'd like to explore, and Matt Stevens, you're back. Welcome back. I like to explore before we go back to all of our callers calling in. There's a lot of people calling in. Is one of the things that Lester Spence said, which is that well, the work you're doing, Matt Stevens, it's great to kind of try to figure out, make families whole again, but we better start focusing on mothers and helping them raise these boys while we're figuring out what's going on. Matt?
Yes. Yes, and we're also working with fathers as well. You know, we work directly with Lamar, and, you know, we're on the same team. And so all of us are fathers. And so we absolutely know from a personal standpoint that the father has to be connected. And we have a page on our website that talks about reconnecting fathers. So we are under no illusion that women can or should be doing it alone. Our focus is that we're dealing with the reality that so many are, and we're trying to provide that assistance for them. So we want to just be clear that when we say the campaign is raising him alone, we are not advocating for women to raise their kids alone. We are just simply saying that women are raising these kids alone, and we want to be able to provide some resources to help them in that regard.
410-319-8888 is the number here. We have people calling in. Let me just see which line to go to. We'll get these folks on the air. 410-319-8888. Halim, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening. How y'all doing?
Good evening. Welcome.
Yes. This statistic that you quoted, the mock, it was 1962, 81%. Of the homes had African-American fathers present, and now it's close to 80% not present. And the gentleman said that the focus is on the empowerment of the ladies or the mothers to teach sons. And I'm not in disagreement with that, but, you know, he said that the men are not going to come rushing back. But I'm looking at, you know, men didn't just rush out to create that imbalanced number. So, I mean, what transpired in the social order or the social fabric that created the imbalance so that, you know, we can flip it to create or bring back the balance?
That's an interesting point. Lamar, you want to take a shot at that first?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with him. We definitely can if all of the parties are working together to make it happen. I mean, I would never want two people to get together just because the son or just because the daughter is there, because, you know, you're not teaching a good lesson to the child. I think if we can show our children that it's all right to have a dispute without getting physical, it's all right to show how you negotiate. There's a giving and a receiving effect. Our children don't get a chance to see that, so they need to see mom and daddy disagreeing but without cursing at each other. They need to see mom and daddy disagreeing without getting physical with them. I think we can turn the tide, and I think the tide is turning. I'm seeing it across the country. Congressman Cummings has been doing some great work with us mm-hmm. around engaging men and getting them involved in their lives of their children. But again, Mark, as I said, a lot of men want to come back, but some of the women are pushing them away. And that's a conversation people are afraid to have, is because as is stated in our documentary, Men to Boys, one of the guys said, you know, women want to be connected to the father of their child. That's just the reality. But when it's not working, then you sort of create a different dynamic, and that dynamic has to shift. And then also, men have to be willing to become better listeners, and then to understand if the relationship is not working, you still need to be connected to your father. But it goes back to the majority of the people that are leaving the households. They've not seen a functional relationship between a man and a woman, so then they sort of carry that over. You're either going to become the super, super dad, or you're going to become the same type of, you know, father that your father was to you if he was not around. So we have to show examples, and if they don't see examples of it, I mean, Mark, I look at the Cosby Show. People talk bad about the Cosby Show, said that wasn't a reality. I'm like, I knew people living like that. Why is that not a reality? Would you rather see Good Times instead of the Cosby Show? So we ask for these images about African Americans, and then we disrespect the images when we get the chance to see them on TV.
Matt, you want to see them before we go to our next caller?
I agree with the gentleman's statement that it didn't just happen. It was a calculated system that got the situation the way it is. And I agree with him that it's going to take a calculated system to get it right back to where it's going. And we're working hard to get that done.
410-319-8888. Magnus, you're on the air. Hi, Magnus, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. How are you?
Well, thank you. Welcome.
Yes. Well, my situation, in fact, is where I find myself. You know, I grew up, you know, in a household where my father was partially there. So I gave myself, you know, I have two boys, and I have done everything, dedicated all my life to say I will raise this kid the right way. So my wife and I, you know, we're going through a divorce where I'm representing myself. With abuse, she abused the boy and neglected. There was a case of neglect. The system took the children and she left the home. They took the children and gave it back to her. I'm fighting an uphill battle when I go to court. They're looking at me as if I'm the bad guy in this thing. You know, I'm trying to protect my boys, because when I'm not around, a month, you know, that my boys left the private school and they went to public school, their grades dropped. I stepped in, I said, no, I cannot let this happen. Every day I pick them up from school, I take them to the library, I spend every working moment they have to do their homework, because she's not the kind, she's never been
okay,
the
well,
kind
Magnus,
of
I mean, I hear the frustration in your voice. And we can't really deal with it. I mean, you're deeply personal issue right now, because I mean, we're not there, but I hear what you're saying. Lamar, I mean, you've counseled many families.
Yeah, Mark, his frustration is the frustration of 7 out of 10 men. The system is not set up for men who want to be involved.
Right.
It is not set up. And my buddy Jeff Johnson from BET, he talked about it recently. There's some legislation that's about to come down, Mark, that's going to destroy many more relationships. When I think about the movie Claudine, and the man talked about, you know, when you take the man out of the household and the women want to become independent, it's not just the women want to be. I don't think anybody wants to raise children by themselves, Mark. You know, you have kids. Nobody wants to do that by themselves. But the system is not pleasant to men. I look at when my daughter was born, and when they walked into the hospital, we were there, and they looked at me like I was just a stranger. David Miller had the same story. His wife is an MD. They give birth to a child. They gave him like the third degree, like he was just a stranger. So it's not set up. It's not set up for us, and we have to, on a common front, as it relates to politics and it relates to policy, we have to change that.
Well,
we have to really change that mind. And this man is frustrated like many others.
I hear his frustration, but I mean, there's two things. One, I mean, I wish there was someone else we could tell him to go for some help in his issue.
He can't run down to the courthouse for child support because it's not friendly. It is definitely, even when you want to pay your stuff, it's just not friendly to men, and we have to change that. And I tell men all the time, even though the process is frustrating like this man, you still need to stay connected to your children. They need to know that daddy is still fighting, even if mommy is going against me and even to the system, because in the end, Mark, that young man or that young lady is going to grow old, and he or she is going to see that daddy still fought for me despite of what was taking place. But Mark, I got to leave. I got to get back in here with these boys. I know Matt is going to hold it down. Mark, again, I thank you for always being the one out there doing this great work for not only just, you know, in the African American community, but just people across the country.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot,
nice.
Mark.
Hello, Mark.
I would like to comment. I hope the brother is still listening, that on our website, www.raisinghimalone.com, in the Reconnecting Fathers section, we have a number of links that can help him address some of the problems that he's dealing with. Throughout the country, there are a number of people who are doing fantastic work. In New York City, Kenneth Braswell and Lisa Crow is a lawyer who specializes in helping men in that situation. We'd like for him to go to our website and connect with some of those links. I heard on Perry Mason once that, you know, I can't really quote what he said, but he just generally was focusing on, you don't want to go to court and represent yourself.
No.
I would encourage him strongly to get a lawyer and let the lawyer handle the legal end, because, you know, just by the conversation that we had over the phone, he's too close to it to see it from the legal
exactly.
perspective.
Exactly. It's too emotional an issue. I mean, what is a shame is that we don't have a system in our country that forces people who divorce and want to, or separate and want to divorce, to go into mediation first.
Right, right.
Instead of having to go through the cost and the pain of court.
There is help out there.
There is. We have to take a short break, Matt. We'll be right back. Let me just say, as we go to break, the breaking news coming out, AP updating on the shooting in Fort Hood is the shooting suspect was an Army mental health professional. As more news comes in about Fort Hood, we will tell you what it is. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at MECU.com. When we come back, we'll go right to the phones in Eleanor in Baltimore County. Hold on. The next caller will come right to you. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late, Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. As news breaks on the Fort Hood shootings, we'll bring you more updates as they come through. We are joined in studio by David Miller, who was stuck in the horrendous traffic of Baltimore City. Needless to say, we need rail. Co-founder and chief visionary officer of Urban Leadership Institute, co-author of Raising Him Alone. Joining us by phone is Matthew Stevens, founder of Empower Today's Youth and co-author also of Raising Him Alone. Glad you made it in, David. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you.
Number here is 410-319-8888. I promise to go right to the phones, and we will. And I just want to read first this one quick thing. A listener wrote in to say, David Hugg wrote in to say, if people want to hear more from David Miller and most deaf's mom and a single mother in an honors program with a 4.0 average, they should come to BCCC, Liberty Campus Fine Arts Theater, noon to 2 p.m. this Wednesday, November the 11th. So when we put that announcement out there, it just came through.
Right.
What would I do without these little blackberries?
Technology.
410-319-8888. Eleanor, you're on the air.
I'm calling on behalf of the mothers who have not called in yet who are raising or have raised sons alone. those family rates are not, in my case, not because I did not want my child's father in his life.
Mm-hmm.
We were married, but it didn't work out, and this person just refused to be in my son's life. So it was a situation where I had to raise my son. Another qualifier that I like to add, too, is that even though there may not be a father, quote-unquote, in the home, sometimes there are, as someone earlier intimated, that there could be a father figure who's always around to help that young man grow up to be a strong African-American man. So I want that qualifier to be there. And also, someone mentioned while I was waiting that there are mothers, yes, who don't want their children's fathers in their lives. But this is one mother who did. And I'll tell you, there was one instance that I remember, and I photographed my son when he was very little. His dad was supposed to come to pick him up,
mm-hmm.
had him dressed and ready to go. That man to this day has never shown up. So sometimes dads do not show up.
Mm. Yep.
But in many instances, we do have to raise our sons, quote unquote, alone without a man in a home. But that does not mean that there's not a strong man in that boy's life, as I tried to do in my son's life. So when those statistics come out, yes, it says mother, father, dad's not in the home, but it should be qualified all the time, because I have worked with pregnant teenage girls, and I know the situations that arise there. But the qualifiers very seldom are talked about, having a dad, a real uncle, not a quote-unquote uncle, you
mm-hmm.
know what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
but an uncle or an older young man who would act as a godbrother to those young men. Please have the qualifiers there, because it makes it seem as though putting it on us as single mothers, that
right.
we're not trying to put a male figure in our son's life, and that is not always
right.
true, and that puts all of us in the same basket, and that should not be done.
Eleanor, I really appreciate, I'm glad you called in, because as we were having that conversation before we went to break, you are echoing what I was wanted mm-hmm. to say, which was we cannot put the onus on the mothers to not wanting fathers around.
Right.
It's just not that,
right.
A, that's not fair to do the mothers who are trying to take care of their children, and B, I personally have a deep problem with men who don't take care of the kids they brought into this world, because
mm-hmm.
it's insane. That's your baby. That's your life, you know?
You know, Mark, I want to thank you for doing the show, and let me just start off by saying briefly that myself, Matt Stevens up in New Jersey, Lamar Shields here, people like Joe Jones, there are a number of people in the Baltimore area and across the country that have been involved in this work in terms of family strengthening, working with fathers and working with children. About 2 years ago, me and Brother Lamar and some other men were doing a project at the Charles Hickey School. We were working with 68 boys. And out of these 68 boys, 40 of these boys had no social history.
And we're talking about a Hickey School, people don't know, is a penal institution.
It's a juvenile facility here in Baltimore, in outskirts of Baltimore. Out of these 68 boys, Mark, 40 of these boys had no social history of their father, meaning they didn't know the father's name, had never seen him before, didn't know what he looked like. And while we can always say that we need to get men more connected in the lives of their children, we really need to begin to look at how we reach back as far as even the extended family to begin to deal with some of the alarming damage that children are faced with. When I was growing up, Mark, in the city of Baltimore, most of the dudes that I hung out with knew who their father was.
Right.
Now, maybe the father might be the guy who's at the corner drinking wine, or he may be in and out of the family situation, but we have an alarming number of children who have no history of their father. And some of that is, as Lamar alluded to earlier, that a lot of moms, because of whatever reason, have become gatekeepers and don't necessarily want dad to be part of that picture. But at the end of the day, we have a astronomical number of children, particularly black boys, Mark, who are being raised in some of the toughest communities in this country. They reside in Baltimore or in Newark or in Chicago. And what ends up happening is moms and grandmoms are out there fending for themselves, trying to raise these boys. And what we've noticed, out of the 4,400 moms, we have 4,400 moms connected to our learning community. The vast majority of these moms would love to be able to reconnect with dad and would love to be able to find a sober, responsible, spiritually guided man to spend some time with their son. But the reality is Mark, I'm sad to say that for whatever reason, many of these men have gotten to a point where they are just so busy that they can't spend time with their children. And so what ends up happening is, as you saw in the Men to Boys film, some of these boys are flat out angry because for whatever reason, dad won't be a dad. And as you look at Men to Boys and some of the other films and books that have been written, we have boys who are 15, 16 years old that are so angry because they don't have a sober, responsible, spiritually guided man in their life. So the work that we've been doing is to really empower mothers and at the same time really figure out some ways to reconnect dads, because we will never be able to reduce the violence in Baltimore City or reduce the rate of incarceration if we don't deal with this whole issue of family strengthening.
Now, you said something very quickly. There's a comment here from Lester Spencer called earlier. I want to read his comments. It's mm-hmm. very cogent and important one to wrestle with. I'm going to get back to the phones and get listeners here. Okay. And your co-conspirator, Matt Stevens, is on the phone as well. You still there, Matt?
Yes, I'm here.
Good, good. And the number is 410-319-8888. We've got a full bank of people calling in to try to get in this. But you said during the break, this is the hardest work you've ever done in your life.
Hardest, man.
Explain. Say to the audience what you said to me.
Matt, I've been working with children across the country 20 years. I work with Crips, Bloods, Gangster Disciples, Folk Nation. I work with men in prison, women in prison, children who are doing well that we've sent to Harvard, Howard University, Morgan, you name it. This body of work in terms of trying to reclaim black families, trying to empower and reconnect dads, trying to support moms and connect moms to vital resources has been some of the most difficult work that I've done for the last 20 years. And some of it is, I just think that even as a city, I just don't think that strengthening families, reconnecting families, are a priority. I just don't see it in terms of public policy, in terms of whether it's moms accessing services, whether it's dads being able to navigate the court systems. That, Mark, we can't address the social issues in our communities if we don't look at family strengthening.
Let's open the phones again. I think we said it's very powerful. 410-319-8888. Let's see who's been holding a long time. Tony, you've been calling on holding on. You're on the air.
Yes, I had a question of how are y'all instilling or trying to keep this from continuing in a country where as long as you don't affect somebody monetarily or physically, like, we don't have no ethics or morals. And, like, in this country, as long as you pay child support or, you know, a father say my kids are taken care of by that being it, by no moral ethics, they believe that's all they have to do. They don't believe they need to be there when their kid wake up, fix breakfast, or feed dinner. Basically, how do you, know, instill some kind of ethics and morals when we in a country where it looked down on, if you say the opposite, like, that you're not for gay marriage or something like that?
I don't think I necessarily understand your question, but let me just say this, that we have to be the men that we want our sons to be. If in fact you have a child by a young lady that you don't necessarily like, you still have to pay child support and you still have to do whatever's in your power to raise your children. We have a city of children that are not being properly raised.
You hit something right in the head here, David. It's really important. It doesn't make any difference whether you love the woman you had the baby with or not. It's immaterial. It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. What's relevant is the child that was created the child needs. The child didn't ask to come here.
The child didn't ask to come here, and you liked that sister long enough to get into bed and have a baby.
Right.
Now stop being a punk and take care of your responsibility, because then on the back end, I have to see your son in handcuffs as he goes to court, or I have to go visit your son in a school because he's so angry because he doesn't have a relationship with his family because his family is fragmented.
Let me go to the phones again and bring Matt back in and bring this Lester Spence piece. 410-319-8888. Robin, you're on the air. Hi, Robin.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi. I'm enjoying your show. I work for the Baltimore County Office of Child Support, and I wanted to have my little input because I heard the guy say over and over again, whether you like the woman or not, you still don't need to be a punk. Take care of these kids and these children that ask to be here. That's absolutely right. And like I was telling the guy that answered the phone prior to getting on the air, These guys call, and these guys want decrease in child support. These guys want to stop paying child support. These guys got bipolar disease. They're mentally and physically challenged. They think that they're supposed to stop paying to take care of these kids if they got all these issues. They think that if the woman don't let them see the kids, they don't want to pay the child support. They call you when the child turns 18 like the child is a bill. Over and over again, this is a repetitive process back and forth in court. These kids, these guys really forget what the real gist of the matter is. It's these children. So this is a situation that I can see is going to have a prolonged, proliferate effect in the long term in this society, because these men are so they got some issues going on, and until they grow up and be the man they're supposed to be, they're not going to get what this whole thing is about when it comes to taking care of these children, not just black male children, period.
Children, period,
and
right.
It's very pathetic. It's very pathetic.
It's not just a black issue in America.
Regardless of race.
But one of the things that Robin was saying, let me ask you, Matt, this question before we get to the next caller, which is a question you said policy doesn't fit into this. I'm thinking about child support.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed Joe Jones, and that interview will be on this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I interviewed him for something else. We're going to put that interview on. And one of the things he said in the interview was, Joe Jones, who runs...
Yes, Center for Urban Fathers.
Right, and it does great work.
Amazing work.
What Joe said was policy is built against putting children and fathers together, even in terms of child support.
Yes.
Because let's say a man is incarcerated, and he's way back in his child support. He made a man with no skills or little occupational mm-hmm. skills, had done time in prison. Maybe he owes now the state $15,000 in back payments.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out of prison. If he gets a job making $15 an hour, if he's lucky, half of the paycheck he takes home, which is equivalent to maybe $10 an hour or less, is taken away because of back child support mm-hmm. and can't do the present. So, I mean, we've got to create a system where whether it's forgiveness or whether it's figuring out another way of not keeping men away from their families, if you want to reform it, then you've got to reform that system
yeah.
that allows people to become part of people's lives and come up with a new system of how you address this question of child support and back payments, or we're never going to get there.
Absolutely correct. And Joe is a pioneer on a national level in terms of his work in the area of child support reform, working with fathers. But Mark, this has to be a conversation that the state of Maryland and the city of Baltimore really wants to grapple with, because the rates of violence and the suspensions and the delinquency and the truancy, all of that is directly related to fragmented families. All of it is directly related to fragmented families.
You want to jump in, Matt, before we go back to the phones?
Yeah, I would just agree with everything that was said. It really is an uphill battle for a guy to be able to come out of prison, or in some of the other situations where they were just unemployed. And then when they get a job, they're so far behind to kind of catch up and just have a regular living style. It's amazing. So there's something absolutely has to be done. But I think also that men who aren't paying child support really need to be, their feet need to be held to the fire, that their kids have to eat every single day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
You know, whatever you have to do, you have to take that onus upon yourself, and you can't put the onus on the woman to say, "Well, she's got it." You know, you got to work it like she don't have it. And I think that that's, you know, my comment.
Let me go back to the phones here, and on the way, read this piece that Lester Spence mm-hmm. sent in here. Lester was on the show earlier. He's mm-hmm. a recurring guest on the show. You can come and tell me more on the barbershop all the time. He's mm-hmm. one of the brightest men in our world, I think. Lester wrote, and Lester says, we all know instances of professional women who choose to have kids without getting married, and the kids turn out okay. It is poverty that drives incarceration, education, etc., not family. He's confusing cause and effect. That's interesting. That could be a whole hour by itself. We should bring Lester in to have that conversation with people. I mean, your immediate thoughts.
But I also think that fragmented families impact or you can see a direct correlation between fragmented families and this whole notion of poverty. And I think what begins to happen is is that Mark and to the guy Lester, is that we are in a situation, particularly in Black America, where as we continue to struggle with figuring out ways to address some of these social issues, we tend to ignore family strengthening. And how do we get families to address the issues that children have and address some of the larger issues that the community has outside of this whole notion of poverty? Because, again, you can be poor and be raised in a family where the adults in the family are consistently trying to make sure that the children are given the necessary tools and resources to be successful.
But one of the things he was saying, I mean, we don't necessarily have to be at odds here. I mean, on the one hand, there has to be policy and there has to be activist programs like yours, mm-hmm. you and Matt and everybody else working in Joe Jones, that pulls families together, because poverty, people living in poverty without family, is a destructive influence, right. More destructive than people living in poverty with family. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, I think what he's also saying is true, is there is a trend in America where women are having children being born and marriage is not in the picture.
True. Oh,
and
definitely.
If you have an upper middle class income, if your mother is a lawyer or a doctor or a social worker or a teacher, mm-hmm. making a solid salary and you're making a living, those kids still have a chance of survival. Poverty is what's killing kids.
Right. Let me just also say that it's interesting that you would say that, because we have worked with a number of mothers who have advanced degrees, who have children, both male children, that are absolutely out of control. So I don't really think, when we look at what's happening to Black males in America, I don't think that it has anything to do with the issue of class. I was just in Prince George's County speaking to graduates of the drug court, and these were young men who were having some major challenges both dealing and using drugs. And these were young men that were coming from very affluent homes, these boys were mainly being raised by single mothers, parents doing well in terms of income, but yet that these boys have adopted a life of crime. So I think it's up for discussion, mm-hmm. but I do see that a lot of the families or a lot of the mothers who are single, who are professionals, who do have degrees, still are having alarming challenges because the fathers are not necessarily connected at the level that we need them to be connected at.
I would definitely agree. I think that
Matt Stevens.
Anyone who would argue that money can replace a father.
No, no, I'm not saying that.
I hope that that's not what he was referring to.
No, I was saying, I think that maybe we should bring Lester in here and have a larger conversation, and Lester and David, if you want to, Matt can come back in just to have this conversation about how to address the issue. No, I think he's saying that at all.
Yeah, yeah.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Mitchell, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Mitchell. You're on the air.
Long time, no talk. Long time. And Mr. Miller, how you doing? This is one of the parents that was in your program when it first started.
Mitchell Dean?
Yes, sir.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, yeah. I'm enjoying this conversation, and you know I've been, fighting for my son for years. Mark, no, I've been calling up about
that's
the education
right.
issue
that's
big
right.
time, which I'm still disappointed with. My daughter doing good. She in poly, her first year there, so she's doing good.
That's great.
And Mitchell still, we working with him. So, but again, I'll say my experience when my son was born, and like going to coming to my job when I had to take my son to the doctor's office, I caught hell. So I want to say, in general, being a Black father in this country, in America, they do make it hard for a lot of fathers to do the things you should supposed to be able to do. So those issues most definitely have to be dealt with still. And dealing with the schools, whenever I went to go deal with things, issue, I would got resistance. So somebody got to deal with that. And it seemed like the policies that are out there are most definitely against you. So hopefully we can resolve some of these issues.
That,
well, I mean, and Mitchell Dean, his son was one of the young men that was in one of our first cohorts in terms of the work that we do with our Saturday program for boys. I just think oftentimes, Mark, the men are silent in our community. We don't make enough noise. We're not doing enough from a policy standpoint in terms of going down to Annapolis and fighting for bills that might impact the lives of both fathers and families. I just think that we got to be more vigilant. We got to be more vocal, because the issues that we see in Baltimore are not going to go away, whether it's related to poverty, whether it's related to absent fathers, whether it's related to women who've just decided that they just want to have babies and not have connections, to the father. I just really believe that we have ignored this whole notion of family in a lot of the discussions that we're having.
Well, I think that's real. I think, that is part of the problem we're facing. I think one of the things, the movie we saw the other week that was just done by black families at the Senator Theater.
Yeah.
That was a very powerful film.
Yeah.
And one of the things I said was that's a film that should be seen in schools across the country.
Dealing with marriage.
Right, dealing with marriage.
You know, we don't talk about marriage enough. You know, it's interesting. I just celebrated 10 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Lamar just celebrated 10 years of marriage. And when we talk to people about marriage, they look at us like, you've been married 10 years? And I'm like, that's not really a long time.
You just started.
Right. Because my parents have been married 45
right,
years.
That's what I said, right?
Right. So I think that we got to elevate this discussion to include marriage, to include family. When I was a student at Morgan, the interesting thing was, and I don't know if it's still the case, you had to take, as a freshman, you had to take a course called Marriage and Family Planning. When I was a freshman at Morgan, if I was in control of the Baltimore City Public School System, ninth grade students would take a course on marriage and family planning, because we don't have a challenge hooking up and having sex, Mark. We have a challenge after we have sex, after the baby is born.
But then again, I'm going to get to that phone. So a lot of people are calling in. We only have a few minutes left here. But I mean, part of the problem is that there are now generations of people in the poorest neighborhoods who never had a familial experience.
But that's not just in the poor neighborhoods.
No, but it's not. But it's
right.
But it is rampant.
It's rampant. Rampant.
410-319-8888. Let's see who we can get in here real fast. And Raj, you're on the air.
How you guys doing?
Good, Raj. We only have but a few minutes, so go ahead.
No problem. First, I want to thank you, Mark, and all the positive examples that you have on your show today. What I really wanted to talk about was number one, thank you guys for being on the airways, sending this positive information to the folks. But I think that is what needs to be fed to the youth. Positive reinforcements. And through what? The mainstream media. I think a lot of the pollution that is actually causing all the riffraff to happen in our homes and with our children is because they're not getting enough positive information through mainstream media. Their idols and the people that they look up to from mainstream media are not necessarily good examples. So I really want to congratulate you on the show. And, I want more marks to be out there in the mainstream media. And we need to tap that issue in order to really cause a change, because our children's minds are being polluted as well as the parents' minds are being polluted.
Well, Raj, we're almost out of time. I do appreciate the thoughts and the comments you made. I personally thank you. But, I mean, I think that the thing we're trying to do here, and that our guests will be back, David Miller will be back and Matthew Stevens will be back. I want to keep this as a regular feature on the show to keep talking about this in a larger context, because we have to deal with the problems that we face and address the real issues.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to bring people on the air like David Miller, like Matthew Stevens, like Lamar Darnell Shields, and others who are doing something about it to say it's not just a problem, but there are ways we can address it and fight
right.
for a
right.
positive change. So it's not just always, woe is me, it's terrible, but oh, woe is me, it's terrible, and what are we going to do to make it work? So that's my stupid alarm.
Oh,
I thought I turned that off. Hello, look out. So thank you so much, Matthew Stevens and David Miller, for the work you do and for the book, Raising Them Alone. And we'll talk to you all very soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all for writing in and calling in and making the show what it is. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producer is Justin Levy. We're engineered by Brian Boone tonight. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, who's working here tonight very hard, Brian Boone, Richard Good, who's here, and Gay Pinder. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again and podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.